Okay. See, is it live or is it Memorex? But none of the kids would have any clue what that's all about. Yeah.
I had my Marvin the Martian t-shirt on the other day. Walked down the hallway. Nobody had any idea. So that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's just bad theology.
Is Carol working today?
Okay, hopefully you got the message that we were skipping 5 and 6, moving into number 7. The reason I wanted to do this is because the dilemma of how much, I mean, if you read through the chapter, hopefully you did, the letter, he's debating whether Christians should really know about the demonic. Do we keep them hidden with that? If they're going to know about it, what's our strategy to kind of deal with that? and especially with today's Hollywood emphasis on this, on spirit beings. All the way, I mean, clear back to Ghostbusters, and I mean, way back in this whole idea that yes, there are spirit beings, but then you make fun of it. So I don't want to get into all discussion, but that's why I thought, okay, this would be a good discussion. So again, if you have that study guide, and I'm not sure if I have given you the information which study guide we're using, I can make sure that you have that. And then there's actually a Facebook page for this with updated notes and all that. So
is that under the church Facebook?
Dennis, how do we find that? Can you just add her in?
Yeah,
okay.
Do you have a last name?
Yep.
So then you can tie in, because that's where I sent out. I can at least get connected enough to say, okay, everybody, it's letter 7 for this week. Because okay. There's like 30 some of these, and we decided that we didn't necessarily want to spend 3/4 of a year on the same book.
You think we'd get through it that fast?
Yeah, right.
This study guide.
Yeah, hence Dennis's comment, his little joke there about, you know. So I think we may have stayed on topic. What was it, 15 minutes last week?
Yeah.
So according to Screwtape, what is the cruel dilemma demons face in deciding whether or not to making their existence known to man? Either your thoughts or what was Lewis trying to communicate there?
The idea that you have more influence if they don't know you exist. If they know you exist, then it pushes them. It can push them away or it can draw towards, but it's going to have that reaction one way or the other, and more likely probably to push away. And then, you know, what did he say? Something about you lose the delicious capabilities of direct
terrorism.
Terrorism.
Yeah.
That
initial drunkenness.
If you avoid it, but something about the high command has said not to do it at this point.
So what's the danger if believers don't know much about the demonic? What do we open ourselves
to? Not something we're guarding against.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like creating your own ideas of what God is in your image as opposed to you being in his image, you do the same thing with devils, thinking of them as comic little characters that are
Which
no account.
Which is a second discussion question,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, the...
The danger that he talks about, that he dwells on, is materialism. That if you can relegate spiritual things, the real important things, to a comic book status or to just an ethereal something or other, it's just a force. It's not personally just a force. Then you're free to concentrate on materialism. And you can worship, you mentioned worshiping sex, worshiping just whatever the things are around you, attaining more, you know, just everything's physical. You know, and all this stuff is inconsequential because you can't really know anything anyway. And as long as you feel good, then you're Oprah Winfrey and you're spiritual and everybody's spiritual and we're all spiritual together and let's all just be spiritual. So it's that. But he seemed like he had a big emphasis on materialism.
Hmm. What's the disadvantage of unbelievers? So you're talking to somebody, they want to get into this discussion. What's the disadvantage of you sort of saying, here's what's true about this? Is there any disadvantage to that?
You mean talking to an unbeliever about?
You're talking to an unbeliever
negative
about.
Negative spiritual
yes.
things? Or?
Yeah.
It's been such a caricature, such a cartoonish thing with the movies, and the television, theology, and everything. You mention any of these things, their mind automatically goes to those caricatures, the devil in the red pajamas with the horns and the pitchfork, and it just seems so silly and outlandish. Or it's been so romanticized, one way or the other, that it's just trying to have a truthful discussion about it. There's so many preconceived notions of what we get from our Hollywood theology nowadays. I mean.
Have you gotten into kind of more extended discussions with an unsaved person about the demonic? I mean, how did those go? You said you did.
Yeah. Chip's nephew proclaims to be atheistic. He doesn't believe there's a God, so he doesn't believe there are demons. He doesn't believe there's a devil. And so being a non-believer, trying to convince them that there's a good and a bad, there's nothing's bad, nothing's good. It's all on the it's just what it is. And so trying to convince them that it's good or bad is not. They have this. I don't understand how they can believe that things are here without somebody creating them, without something happening. It's just it's just here. It just grew like this, and just weird. But they have their own thing that it's. Neither here nor there. It's all the same.
Yeah. Blended, did I see?
I was scratching my ear.
I had an interesting.
As a pastor, we're trained to see hands.
Yeah. Like an auctioneer.
Just kidding.
Like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
I had an interesting discussion one time. I was at a skating rink up in Waynesboro, and there was a little group of girls there that had a band, and they were showing off their new T-shirts, and coincidentally, they were also considering themselves a new coven. And the one young lady that was there, at the time, she was not quite the same as me, but spent some time talking to her. And they were all being introduced to this theology, this religion. And I didn't let her know that I was a Christian off the bat. I started asking her questions, and she didn't really have any answers. She kept diverting to this other person who had all the facts. And I just kept asking questions, well, you know, who is this person that you're worshiping? What do you know about them? Okay, how does this person that you keep deferring me to know about them? Where's the authority? And I find that can be effective when you talk about the authority of Scripture. That the Scripture is trustworthy. You know, it's been proven. There are none of these mythical contradictions in it. You know, the truth of Scripture will out. It will prove it's a C.S. Lewis said. The truth is like a lion, set it free and it'll defend itself. So we kept kind of going around about that. And I was trying to make her nervous. And eventually she did, because I kind of led it to the point. It's like, so you actually believe there is this horned God, this nameless horned God that you're talking about, and it's not good or bad or anything. Like, what if you're wrong? I was like, well, you obviously, you're paying homage to this thing. It's obviously you believe that it's more powerful than us. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah. Okay, what if he's a jerk? You really don't know. You're basing everything on the opinions of this other person. And so there was some doubt there. But I kind of stayed on that for a while. After a while, she got kind of scared. And unfortunately, after that evening, I never was able to find the person or follow up. But I prayed about it a lot. But it was really just this willingness to just throw yourself out there into this spiritual realm with these beings that you're at least acknowledging are more powerful than you and have some kind of influence over your world, and without really knowing anything, you just kind of throw it out there. I'm like, where does that come from?
Spirit guides.
Yeah.
Spirit.
You don't. There's no authoritative information. You're just hoping that you're right, and you're giving yourselves over to these beings that you believe are more powerful than you. It's like, wouldn't it be awesome if you could know a little something about them?
I think Satan has them blinded to the point that they think that they know that that's what's
Well, because you're spiritual. You're yeah. Oprah Winfrey, and as long as you have good intentions, you're spiritual. And...
Carl, I'm interested from a law enforcement perspective. Is demonic witchcraft, whatever, is that an issue that you guys have dealt with much in the area?
I didn't, but I mean, I'm sure some of the detectives did. We would see some things occasionally on medevacs, but I know that they dealt with some things along those lines. But just depends on the region where you are as to whether it's prevalent or not, and, you know, the and what level it's actually, because most of it's hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, you might find, you know, occasionally. Oh, where you might have been called someplace and there were things that made you think something odd was going on, but yeah, most of that would have been detectives and stuff.
Okay.
I think you can do some, if you do some blogging, you'll find that there's some of that where they do find some.
So, I mean, I know this is a huge cocaine area, but so I didn't know if it was a huge kind of demonic activity area as well.
Never had in services much talks on that, but most of it would have been about the drugs and the other stuff.
Yeah.
When we were in college in southern West Virginia, that was my hometown, so I knew a lot of the stuff that was going on in the area. There was a lot of witchcraft. And we had a professor that was going into churches and dealing with the issue of witchcraft and demonism and different things. And I remember one particular church that he went to, the coven that was there did not want people to know what was going on, so they blocked people from going into the church. I mean, they had a big pentagram out, they had animals around that they had killed and had sacrificed, because they didn't want them to know what was going on. They wanted them to be blind to the things that were going on in the area. So it, I think Satan goes to an extreme of not wanting people to know, so they're blinded to it and they don't. It just happens, you know. Yeah. That's
part of number three, I think. We'll come back to two. We touched on, but
can you read the questions? We got the wrong guide.
Oh, you got the wrong guide. Yeah. So the third question was, when C.S. Lewis wrote this, it's World War II era, and the policy was to try and not speak about evil. And the question three was, has that changed now? And I found it interesting, we were trying one day, years and years and years ago, I think I lived in Winchester at the time, to try and find a parking place in D.C. I found one, pulled in, only to look up and see those parked in front of the Playboy Club National Headquarters. But it was the only parking lot I could find. So as we're walking then down to over all the monuments, there's the first Church of Satan. It was just so blatantly obvious.
Where was that?
Somewhere in D.C.
And that's the name of the church?
Yeah, First Church of Satan.
Detroit has several of them.
Okay.
Several of
them. This was right out on their sign. Yep. This is what. Yep. This is who they were.
Yep, they have
interesting
churches.
Number three, there's wondering about concealing. There's nothing concealed about that.
No. Well, I think it's concealed because you don't physically see them, because if they present themselves, then we know there's a right and a wrong, like you were saying. So you say they're not concealed, they're
openly concealed.
It's almost making it normal or making it acceptable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it goes beyond
the Screwtape and his minions are still, are they there or are they not there? Are they red devils on your shoulders, or they're not out.
But the Church of Satan is just coming out to say, we're just another religion.
Right.
We're just another church.
Right. Mm.
Well,
yeah.
So
I'm sure there's a whole slew of tax benefits and all of that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think people are more comfortable to say, oh yeah, I'm a Satanist, than they ever were before.
Well, it's even
just
more
a gut feeling, but
it's even more insidious than that. If you listen to anything that Anton LaVey said, if it's the Church of Satan that Anton LaVey started.
Right, and I think this was. Yeah.
Okay. Then, if you listen to him talk, there is no Satan. It's the Church of Satan, but Satan is a belief system. Satan is the idea of not following the norm. And if you were to press him on it while he was still alive, and by the way, now he knows the truth, if you were to press him while he was still alive, he would say that what it really boils down to is just rebellion, which that's probably the truest thing he's ever said. It's just a matter of being a true Satanist means you don't go along with what everybody does, which is ridiculous because that's exactly what they do. And he was cornered by a Christian. I don't remember exactly who it was that was doing it, but he got it down to, okay, fine. So if I want to be a good Satanist, I just have to disagree with everybody else. Yes. So if everybody decided that they wanted to be a Satanist, then in order to be a true Satanist, I would have to follow Christ. Well, he didn't have an answer, of course. But the idea is that even the Church of Satan, you're denying the reality of a personal demonic force that's trying to interfere in your life. It's all just systems and belief systems and energy and all these things. So even in the Church of Satan, Satan's true form is denied. And if you were to say that there is a demonic being named Satan that you're worshiping, you are not a true Satanist.
So how, those of you who are science fiction, so how was our society picked up on that, you know, 25, 30 years ago when I saw the originals in theater? What's the evil?
Force.
The Force, yes.
Star Wars.
So you have the Star Wars, you have the dark force. Yeah, may the Force be with you. So, you know, I've heard Christians, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No,
you know,
just stay in the science fiction realm there.
Yeah.
But of course you have Vader and you have the dark side of the Force.
You have the good and the
so
bad.
So again, there's no
still
person who is the focus of the Force. Right. It's this, yeah.
But we take it a step further. There is no dark side. It's all just Force. And and the unpardonable sin is what? If you label something as evil, well, then you're intolerant and you're a bigot.
Yeah. And I think some of the draw, I think that section of that genre of movies, or that franchise of movies, you know, what was Anakin's draw to that is there were secret things he could learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that in conversations among college students, mostly our teens. They're just, they're in this little bubble, so they're not really concerned about that. But these college students that, yeah, the idea is there is something real there, but you have to move to the dark side to get that. And that was, if you followed that franchise, that was, I think, Anakin's real
sort of
temptation. Yeah, the mystique, and you know, you can bring people back from the dead, but you have to learn the dark side of the Force. And so I think, yeah, there's this idea out there that there are realities, but you have to stray off the norm to learn those realities. And more people are willing to do it.
You're making me think of the Masons and how they have the mysterious levels that people who get in. Most people don't get beyond, I think, basic.
Third level.
And they think it's a Christian organization. From what I've heard or ones I've talked to, they're Christians, they go to church, and things I've read are far from it.
Yeah. So, I just thought it was interesting that now I think it's okay because of things like Star Wars and others. And even back to Ghostbusters. I actually never saw Ghostbusters. I hear it's a pretty fun movie. But to trivialize. So now back to question two. Do comic figures or benign illustrations of devils assist in the work of Screwtape and Wormwood? How does the media inhibit our belief in demons or spirits? Or how, besides inhibit, I'm not sure it actually inhibits, but how does it confuse, or how does it...
It kind of diffuses the fear.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a good way to get drawn into that stuff, watching movies that they look great, you know, they're really good and entertaining, but it seems like you can get drawn further and further into that kind of thing.
Well, we're so bored. We're so bored that,
yeah,
even if it's the scary side of it, we're such drama queens that it's like, okay, some terrible thing might happen. You have a seance and call up a spirit and it's in your house. It's like, I'll get some attention. Wow, how interesting would that make my life if I lived in a haunted house?
Yeah, how many Ouija boards do they still sell every year? You know, there's just something fascinating.
Well, now they're making movies.
Oh, yeah. The idea... we did take, just for the fun of it, in Plymouth, we took one of the ghost tours. And Seems like we missed it by one night, because last night they were out in full force, and tonight we didn't see it. So I want to take the tour again the next day and see if it, yeah. That. Yeah.
You scared them away, that's what it was.
It must have been, yeah. But, yeah, there is some curiosity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's...
I think it's interesting. Yesterday, there's an enormous amount of horror movies in our house, but 28 Days of Darkness, and it was vampires. But anyway, the head vampire made the conclusion toward the end that we had spent hundreds of years to convince them we don't exist. We can't let them know we do now. Clean it up.
See, it's educational TV. Don't judge. I need to be ready for the zombie apocalypse. I don't know about y'all.
I think that's a recurring theme in a lot of those horror.
The point was.
The Underworld series is that as well, is there's this secret war going on behind the scenes and nobody knows it's happening. And, you know, in that series, it's vampires and werewolves, but just as easily angels, demons, spiritual warfare, and all that sort of thing. The idea that we don't want people to know that we're here so we can work behind the scenes and work things the way we want it to.
Or at least distort their opinion of what right. it is to these comical.
Oh, it's all just folk tales. You know.
I feel like so many of them have brought the perception of Jesus down to the same level as mm-hmm. all the demons and stuff. He has no more authority. He's just basically another demon in the minds of people, that he does these forces and they do these forces.
Another
and
pawn in the game.
Yeah.
So question four was, what does Screwtape claim is the devil's perfect work? So what do you say in the book? What's the devil's perfect work?
I would say rap music. I'm sorry, was that out loud?
Yeah, that's Jesse we're listening to.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Search. Because I didn't remember reading it. That's why I was going.
That's what I was saying. I saw this question.
I don't hear it.
And I just read it last night. So
I listened to it and I don't remember. So I'm curious as to the answer.
Oh, there it is.
I remember hearing it.
Well, there it is. It's in the first paragraph.
Yeah, it is in the first paragraph, but I'm not finding it. It's a long paragraph.
Life force of worship of sex and some aspects of psychoanalysis may be proved useful. If once we can produce our perfect work,
the materialistic magician. Yeah.
Man not using but veritably worshiping what he vaguely calls forces while denying the existence of spirits, the end of the war will be in sight.
Ah. Well, we do that in church.
So, well, materialistic magician.
We make God whatever we want him to be. And whatever is unpleasant about God, we just don't accept that part.
Oh, he's a loving God. He is not a just God. He's not a judging God.
We create our own perception of God. The scripture is irrelevant. He's a feel-good God. And it's just whatever is convenient for us. This very popular notion of this genie that's just going to spit out blessings on us. When I mentioned Jamie. One of the things that she keeps going on is waiting on God. This waiting on God. I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on. What are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Yeah, but what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. So you're not. And it's not her. I've seen where that theology comes from. I've been involved with these people. You just need to wait on the Lord to do everything for you. So if your job stinks, don't try to educate yourself. Don't try to do anything to better yourself. Make your update your job skills. Just wait on the Lord to fix it for you. If you're going to lose your house, just wait on the Lord to fix it for you. If you're in an abusive relationship, wait on the Lord to fix it for you. It's like you're not supposed to do anything. This genie, this magical genie, is just going to boop. You know, so we do that. We just create whatever version of God just happens to be convenient for us. Whether it's, you know, nobody's really going to hell because God just loves everybody and all his children. Or this God that doesn't expect anything of us. Or that this genie... You know, we do that. We just create our own version of God.
Yeah, I hope I didn't offend This is the lady from the church, Facebook. Most people are.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
False teacher.
I saw that, and I'm like, no, I don't disagree with that. That might not be the most helpful way to go about it.
I was just in a mood. And
Chip would have done the same thing. I'm just glad he didn't see it.
It's one of these, you know, if you want God to bless you with, like, money and a new this and whatever, just type amen and hit share or something. Oh. And my response was a picture of Joel Osteen. Yeah, with a picture of Joel Osteen, yeah. My response was something about this looks way too genie-like. God is a genie, kind of. It's like,
I know people that believe that way. There's even a girl at work that read this book on how to get a windfall of money, and she's supposed to be a big Christian.
Yeah. So, yeah, it really is the, you know.
Health and prosperity.
You can't rub the bottle, but you can type amen and share. Yeah, right. So now our genie in the bottle is amen and share. And it's like, I think at that point, Dennis, I'd read enough of those, like, okay, I'm going to just respond to one of these.
You picked the wrong one.
I probably picked the wrong one.
I disagree
with you. But especially when the picture of Joel Osteen is up there, you've got to be kidding.
It just hit a nerve for you, huh?
It just hit a nerve.
Was there a response to that?
I don't think so.
I don't think there was ever a response.
Oh, that was my
you
first
said false
one. Oh yeah,
teacher
I did the second one.
Yeah.
Second. Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, that was the false teacher one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was another one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there was another one. I may have been in the same movie. That was days later, whatever. But yeah, there was the false teacher one there. But yeah, no, the other one was about the genie. God is a genie. Oh. It just looks smacks too much of God is a genie, and I don't like that. But. Yeah, I need to just get off Facebook. But yeah, especially when they had that couple there.
It bothers me when I see Christians
no discernment whatsoever.
That seem to be grounded Christian posting things like, if you want God to bless you, type amen and share. I'm like, he's not going to do anything because I posted it. He doesn't even have Facebook. He doesn't know I'm talking.
He deleted his account. He's still on MySpace.
Yeah, he probably is. Yeah.
Sometimes there's ones that are they're really interesting until you get to the bottom and they put that on there.
Yeah.
Usually if I post those, I'll put, please ignore the last part. Just
screenshot it. Cut that off.
Or
so anyway, yeah. So yeah, those are my two recent Facebook sort of blasts in there. So... So anyway, back to Devil's Perfect Work. We tried to stay on there.
I think that's a lot of it. Like we're talking about, you pick and choose what's real, what's not. Oh, these spirits are here, and the spirits can guide us. There's no God. There's no right and wrong, but the spirits are going to guide us.
It's that relativism.
Well, Star Trek series, Star Trek Voyager. You have Chakotay, who is always consulting his spirit guides. And it's a natural part of that whole storyline and whole episodes where he then gets in touch with his spirit guide and helps people, others find some of those. And yeah, the vision quest, all those. Oh, I need to go because if they are finished, then.
There's people coming.
So you guys can carry on. We actually made it through about 4 out of 10 questions. The rest of them, and you guys can kick this around for a minute, extremism. Is there a place? Oh, I'll just do that. Somebody shut that off at the end. Is there a place in Christianity for extremism? That was the rest of that section. I'm stiff. But yeah. So we'll just hit the middle button when you're done. But yeah, kick around just for a minute. Is there a place in Christianity for extremism? What should it look like? You have a one version, the I'm sold out for Christ, and that needs to be an extreme. But then you have wackos on all edges. So. Keep that around for a minute, then you can kind of finish whatever you feel like finishing. I just need to make sure I'm there to give my announcement.
Well, one of the things he talked about was the, the only extremism that is bad for them, the demons, is extremism towards devotion to the Father.
Prayer and reading your word.
And all the other extremism is good for them, because I think it goes on to talk about the idea that once you can convince them that their extremism is the ends and the faith is the means to get there, and the faith, all the faith does is back up that extremism. They pick and choose the different verses that fit the extremist viewpoint. That's you've got them.
I'm going to disagree with you. You said to prayer and reading your Bible or whatever you said there. It specifically says devotion to the enemy, because you can get to the point where you pray your entire life and don't do anything. You can get into you're at church every time the doors open.
You're focusing on yourself.
You're focused on one thing, but you're not having any effect. I guess defining what pure devotion to God is would be the area to find where you're not in danger of getting into a bad extremism, such as always out knocking on doors, if you put always in front of it, you're probably wrong.
I think along the lines of what you were saying, he touched on the joy of extremism from Screwtape's point of view, is that if it's extreme enough, he talked about patriotism versus pacifism, mm-hmm. and you can take this literally to any theology or point of view. If you feel strongly enough about that particular point of view, well, you could even incorporate that into your religion. Mm-hmm. You can. That's part of your doctrine. In fact, this now makes me a better Christian, and my views are more Christian than yours because I have this point of view that is so strong that it's literally part of my religion. Pacifism is required in order for you to be a valid participant in my religion. Patriotism is required, and boy, do we do that. If you didn't vote for who I voted for, you're not a good Christian.
Yeah, there's a lot of
if you don't belong to the same party as I do, you're not a good Christian.
There's a lot of danger in I don't know, the danger in, especially talking about this, was the danger in patriotism and pacifism. And it's not so much as it was a few maybe during the Vietnam War or you know, at this time, but it seems like at this point the danger of patriotism outweighs pacifism at this point. And I don't know that that's a thing, but I think people can get so caught up in the America kind of movement that we're not worried about God and the Christian. You know, and it's that merger that they talked about, that, you know, well, the Bible, this is the biblical support for this patriotism mm-hmm. kind of thing, and whenever it's this is the support for this, it's making the Bible and Christianity the means, and the patriotism or the pacifism or whatever it is the end, and that is.
Instead of the Bible and Christianity being a means to become more Christ-like, and a means to fellowship with God, it becomes simply a means to justify your political point of view. Mm-hmm. And I see that as a perfect example of that. I think it's a good analogy. Back right after 9/11, of course, everybody had an American flag. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And when you got your American flag in the back of your pickup truck, stuck down through the bed, and it's flapping at 70 mile an hour down the interstate, and I'm showing my patriotism by flying a flag that's got the ends all ripped off of it, and it's flapping, and the stripes are splitting, and then you stop at a traffic light, and it lays in the grease in the bottom of your truck bed, and you take off again, and you're streaming grease and crud off the end of your flag, and there's your patriotism. And that's what we're doing when we do that. I use my faith to justify my patriotism or my pacifism or whatever it is, and it's just a muddy mess.
I had a rabbit trail.
Yeah, we should shut that up.
But do we need it today? So if you stand your ground on your fundamental beliefs and, you know, what we believe in the Bible and stuff, that makes you an extremist now, the way the world is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the simple things, you know, babies out of wedlock, you know, or
homosexuality, abortion,
everything makes you thoughts. Even, and then you become, and then you're a pacifist if you accept it or show any support whatsoever, I guess.
If you have a strong opinion about anything, you're a baby.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you slightly disagree, and then just had a conversation last night at work. Like, we have this one individual, like, he'll argue with you whatever you say, and you'll be like, okay, I see your point's valid. Then he'll argue the other side that you were originally, like, there is no...
I just want to argue.
Well, the thing is, if people... That's one of the things that gets in the letters, I forget if it's this letter or one of the others, that if you let them be pacifists, then they don't think. If
right.
you get them arguing, let them argue, then their brain engages, and they'll talk themselves right out of their... I can't think of a nice word as well. Are we
extremists? Or are we just trying to...
I mean, if we're not, if the rest of the world doesn't view us as extremists, I feel like we're probably doing something wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. There is a fine line. The extremists running around going America because, you know,
right.
I'm Christian, down with the Muslims, whatever. You know, you're supposed to show love to everybody. So, extremist line, and then there's a cliff that mm-hmm. really hurts us as Christians.
Right, well, then you get the Westboro Baptist Church.
Right,
yeah. I was going to say, it depends on whose eyes were, I mean, in the world's eyes, we're always going to be extremists.
Right.
Okay, but let's take it, you know, to the church. Extremism within the church, okay? One person, you could say you take prayer to the extreme, and the person just praying all the time about everything and believing everything. And their prayer, which you would think, how could that be a bad thing? That can become their God, to where they're not doing anything, but by gosh, they're praying.
Yeah.
You know, and are they praying wrong? Are they praying for the right things? Is their prayer biblical prayer?
Or are they just praying?
Right. So balance to me is kind of the holy grail that extremism is dangerous because any one thing, well, we love to latch onto things and have a cause. So, okay, I'm passionate for evangelism. Well, that's great, okay? Do you have good biblical doctrine to back up what you're saying to people as you're out there evangelizing, or are you just going out there making everybody feel good? You know, any good thing can turn into a bad thing if it's to the extreme and it doesn't have that balanced bedrock underneath of it. So balance, I think, is just really, really important. And I think extremism is dangerous almost every instance.
Yeah.
If we take one thing and that becomes it, that's our it, because
yeah.
everything
right.
else is used
yeah.
to support it, whether it's right or not.
And with that, you get the idea of denominations and the splits within the church where some denominations focus so much on... you know, certain aspects and these things are required and these things are off limits. And, you know, I've been a part of a few Facebook groups that are devoted to different denominations that don't necessarily interact with each other very well. And the idea that I've found so consistent in these Facebook groups that are, or forum groups or whatever you want to call them, that are devoted to the denominations is they're so focused on the things about the denominations, about that they're not focused on evangelism. They're not mm-hmm. focused on
but their exclusivity.
Out. Yeah,
they're focused
right.
on their
so
exclusivity.
They have
so
their one or two.
We do this.
We are right. This is why we are right. You know,
yeah.
there's 100
right.
different comments and messages and posts and threads about why and this is just the one that pops in my head. Calvinism is the only way that things work right. And there's maybe one post about going out and reaching out to people. And I feel like that is such
an
unbalanced
mm-hmm. yep.
way to go about that stuff.
Well, we'll have our one or two points that make our denomination stand out or different. And that's our God now. If you don't believe in, I'll just take some from my own experience. If everything else in the Bible, if you don't believe in speaking in tongues, and if you don't believe that that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you've missed everything. Okay, you go to a different an area, a different denomination. If you sing anything that isn't in that
hymn book,
it's not Christian. It is not Christian. You know, there's no music outside of that hymn book. I was going to say the denomination beforehand, but that's not Christian. But wait a minute. It's like there are things in the Bible that you have to believe in order for it to be Christian. Are those the things you're focused on, or is it the stuff that you want to focus, those points, like, you know, the speaking in tongues or the certain hymnals and all those things? What's the word? Your deal breaker. You know, what things are worth breaking fellowship over and which are not. And if they're not the biblical, if they're not the things that Jesus harped on, if they're not the things that he said are essential, you're wrong.
And I think that's the danger so much of getting into, and when it comes to the different denominations, it boils down to traditionalism within that denomination.
Yeah.
And when traditionalism becomes more important than the Bible, mm-hmm. then that's where it gets so dangerous. And I think, you know,
and it very often is.
Don't want to pat our church on the back, but a little bit is that we've been willing, at least more recently, we've been willing to change things and to move away from that traditionalist mm-hmm. kind of
that's dangerous
kinda movement, because when tradition becomes again more
doctrine.
Important than Jesus, then
tradition becomes doctrine.
Yeah, it's such a dangerous thing. Because again, you lose focus. You're not focused on
right.
reaching out
exactly
anymore. When you're so focused on, you know, well, this is the right way to do things that we can't go out and reach out to people, then we've completely lost perspective.
Amen.